Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thanks for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we'll be talking about getting things done with spiritual grace as opposed to human will. In this show, we will focus on how and why divine law is the most practical source of power. Listen as we discuss some of the differences between material law and spiritual truth. See why the 100-monkey theory has little effect when exposed to spiritual truth. Democracy says the majority rules, and spirit says, I am all. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience dominion in this world. Swami, I see the title of today's show is Why One with Truth is a Majority. So what do we mean by that?
Yeah, we're talking about principle. We're talking about the one self-existent power in this universe. And by us attuning ourselves with it, we then are under the government of it. Because it has dominion, then it's kind of like letting the river flow. You don't have to push it. It flows by itself.
In the opening of the show, we said we're going to talk about getting things done with spiritual grace. So I have a few thoughts about that, but let's first explain what is spiritual grace.
Spiritual grace is this divine principle. It is the self-existent power of this universe. Attuning ourselves to it becomes our best ally. Now, what most of us don't realize is that there is this secondary power in the universe called thought. Thought may be an energy capable of affecting changes, and it's measured by the amount of strength it is emitted with. Also, belief is what gives thought power. But we're working with the shadow of this truth. It's kind of like the relationship between the sun and the moon. See, the sun is a source of light. It generates light from itself. The moon appears to be bright and have light, but the moon reflects the light of the sun. And so these modes of thought that we're talking about and have been talking about in previous shows, the three modes of mortal thought are really the reflection of this principle, this divine law. When you're working with the reflection, you're not working with the true source, the true self-existent power in the universe. And that's why it's so important to really start to understand these modes of thinking.
So we're talking about getting things done, and I realize that's a human material concept. It seems that the better multitasking you can do, that seems to be what we covet. So how do we go about getting things done in this material world and still trying to do it with the spiritual grace that you talk of?
Yeah, the process here is that we first have to recognize how everything is working. I really like what the Bible says. You must know the truth. And knowing the truth is that This is a spiritual universe. It is forever held, controlled, and governed by this divine law, which is absolute life. It is the perfection of being. So in the truth of being, the changeless state of being, there is absolutely nothing that needs to be done. Nothing needs to be added to it. Nothing needs to be overcome or taken away from it. Divine creation is perfect. Now, as long as we abide in that truth, and we make our mind an avenue of awareness for this one divine mind, then we should reflect that image, the perfection of being. But most of us don't have that in place. Most of us are still thinking mortally. We're still thinking with a five-sense mind. And from that limited perspective, that distorted view of what is really there, then we succumb to personal interests, personal will, personal ambition. And that creates this interference pattern. The more we believe in that, then the more we generate this limited perspective. But to understand how the whole thing is working, figuring out how one can actually use this invisible, intangible, divine presence as their mode of operation is really a practical guide for highly effective living.
You had mentioned will just a moment ago. So if we're to go about our day to get things done with the spiritual grace, it kind of reminded me of, don't we also have to be cautious of getting things done? Is it my will or is it thy will?
Right. And again, when we turn inward and we try and connect to this divine presence, we find that there are things in there that can confuse us. And that's what we were talking about, these modes of mortal thought, that we really have to forsake all human thinking for this divine knowing. Because how do I know if it's my will or thy will? And using the fruits of your efforts as your barometer, that if your external world is absolute harmony, peace, that you abide in abundance, that you are enjoying perfect health, things of that nature, things that have divine quality, then of course, you're more likely to be in sync with this divine presence. But if you are struggling with lack, limitation, suffering, sickness, then chances are that you're in the shadow of this truth. You're in this false sense of reality. And in order for us to really unbox that and figure it out, it's really important to understand how everything is working. In fact, I remember as a young man growing up, in the early 70s, there was a saying that I came across in reading that said something to the effect that lose your mind and come to your senses. Because from that level of understanding, that sense level living seemed to be optimal. But now we're saying lose your senses and come to mind. And that's mind with a capital M, divine mind, divine knowing.
So you're saying we have to lose our personal sense, what's around us, and come to this divine mind. And only when we reach that is when we can really exercise this divine will, thy will.
Right. In doing that, that's more of what we call attunement, We're just trying to align ourselves. We're trying to connect the dots. We're working with the appearance of our senses. We're looking for the testimony of our five senses to give us clues as to how am I thinking? Because the formula really has never changed. How we think is what we become. Only what we had learned and were teaching before, that thought is an energy capable of producing effects, and that it is measurable based on the amount of strength that it was emitted with, which meant that belief gave thought the power of intention. Now we're finding that there is an even better way to go about this that doesn't really include personal will, personal intention. It is working with the principle of truth. And all we really have to do is harmonize ourselves with this divine principle. Because years ago, we used to talk about the 100 monkey theory. We used to say that if you could get 100 monkeys, if you could get 100 people to think in a similar way, that it would actually impact the collective, and then it would affect people all over the planet. And that rule still plays out. But then again, you need a majority. In order to make that work, you have external dependency. And you're also going to find that it's very limited. The reason you're limited is because you're working with belief. And just like the moon reflects the light of the sun, that belief really borrows its power from the truth of being. So you're not really working with a principle. You're not working with a power. You're working with the concept of a power or a thought about power. And it has its limitations, because just like darkness isn't a power, that darkness really relies on the absence of light for its existence. And just like light will dispel the darkness, truth dispels the error. That the truth of being trumps any false belief that we may have. And that's why we make a very clear distinction between faith and belief. That yes, faith is belief, but it's belief in this truth. It's belief in this one divine presence, this one life, this eternal life that is unchanging and perfect. That's faith. Belief is something that we can believe in anything. In fact, like we talked in class last week, we were talking about how we perpetuate sickness, suffering, disease, with our belief in them. And of course, everything has reached critical mass. And because we are living out from the testimony of our senses, we react to this because we believe in what it is that we see with our senses. But to think differently really means that you forsake all your human thinking, the testimony of your senses, for this divine knowing, for knowing this truth, that life is perfect. And we shift from creation to the creator. We shift from the person to the principle.
When you're talking about life is perfect, you're talking about life with the capital L, meaning spirit, that life?
Right, which is the only life that really is. This false sense of existence that has an expiration date isn't real, and it isn't life in the true sense of the word, the spiritual sense of the word.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya
Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, the next part I'd like to talk about is in our opening, we said that we were going to discuss some of the differences between material law and spiritual truth. But first of all, what exactly is material law?
Material law is really the law of karma. Material law relies on belief for the appearance of its existence. Material law relies on a belief in two powers. It's a divided consciousness. And I really like the way that quantum physics helps us understand this whole thing. And a lot of the information that I'm going to use in this show, I got from The Death of Materialism, the YouTube video. In that particular video, they talk about the double slit experiment. They talk about how observation has effect on the appearance, on reality. And then, of course, it really goes into von Neumann's chain. Interactions create a chain that eventually goes back to an actual observer. And the only logical place to stop this chain is with whomever is ultimately performing the measurement, the conscious observer. Now, what is meant by interactions is this relationship between particles and waves, that everything is in a wave state. Everything is a thought until an observer makes the measurement. And then the wave collapses as a particle, which means now that it becomes invisibility, which really is kind of like the relationship between matter and mind, as we know it. Observation causes what's called the collapse of the wave function. And so this is how thought is made visible. And science backs this. And what's really interesting is that Mary Baker Eddy figured this out back in 1866. And in trying to save the classical view of physics, which is basically what we'll call the laws of matter, material law, cause and effect, action, reaction, Niels Bohr's approach was revisited, and studies found that the wave function isn't real, but a mathematical probability was challenged and found not to be just an epistemic tool, but the true nature of reality is the wave function, and observation causes it to collapse to physical particles. So physics caught up with Mary Baker Eddy. And then more from this particular YouTube video, Death on Materialism, they said that consciousness is ultimately and philosophically the cause of the wave function and the physical existence of matter itself. Then it went on further to say, though consciousness is not physical, it is more real than matter itself. The physical existence of space, time, is dependent on conscious observers. This is really all about physical law, material law. It is a belief in two powers. For all intents and purposes, it really produces a hypnotic state. And it really relies on belief for its existence. Spiritual law is the eternal law. That's the pure consciousness that is the cause of the wave function. Everything is really going to come down to how we're thinking. Now, what they didn't cover in Death of Materialism, which is what Mary Baker Eddy covered in her work, was the modes of thinking. That to have these three modes of mortal thought, that we can actually work and make shifts in consciousness under material law in this cycle of death and rebirth and this false sense of existence. And then there is divine mind. And so in the Bible, they talk about repent. And the real translation of that phrase doesn't mean to plead for forgiveness. It really means to think differently. And just how different they're talking about here is that we must forsake human thinking, sense level logic and living for this divine knowing. That by us turning our attention to this pure consciousness, and not being hypnotized by the particles or the waves, that by us focusing on pure consciousness, this one divine mind, that we now identify with the cause of all creation, creation itself. And when spirit is cause, if we were to think with divine mind, then actually the external appearance would have the benefit of this perfect creation.
Now, is that why we say that one with truth is a majority and why we don't need the 100 monkeys?
Right, because the 100 monkeys rely on belief. Truth is self-existent. Truth does not get power from anywhere. We don't get this truth outside of ourselves. We must go within. We must roll back the stone of concentrated human limitation and let this truth out.
Earlier, we were talking about the majority. In the opening, we said, democracy says the majority rules and spirit says, I am all. How do we live by that statement?
Optimally, we live by it by fidelity to that one divine life, that one divine presence. And by us abiding in that truth, that if there is one power, that there is one life, and it is absolute goodness, it is eternal life, and it is looking at itself, as itself, of itself, and in itself. And everything about it is just pure goodness, then you really want to have fidelity to it. And that's really what Scripture is telling us. If you look at the first commandment, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not put strange gods before me. By us believing in something other than this one divine presence, that's idolatry. That's atheism. And you're in violation of this spiritual law. See, spiritual law, we must have recognition of it in order to activate it in our experience. It is the observer that sets the measurement. So if we don't have awareness for the presence of this one divine mind, then we have our attention somewhere else. And that's why now in our classes, when we're examining our physical bodies, if we find pain, discomfort, instability of any sort, we know that we have a belief in something other than the perfection of being. We no longer do all of the internal mental work. We no longer try and do this humanly because the human mind relies on belief. It is a very limited function. It's not self-existent. It doesn't have power. When you shift attention to the divine and you move out of the limited sense-level logic, sense-level living, that's an upgrade. Now you're working with something that has authority as opposed to something that is going to look for power in belief.
So any adverse condition means that we have a belief in something other than God or spirit. And these are tools that you're giving us to help us to understand that we have this other belief and then to give us insights to living differently than we've been accustomed to all of our lives.
Right. And it comes down to thinking differently. This whole thing of changing how we're thinking. It's not an easy catch to think, and I love what Mary Baker Eddy says, to think with God as God. Because God does not think in a divided consciousness. Divine mind is absolute. And divided consciousness, material law, relies on duality, which is a separation from this divine unified consciousness, pure consciousness. Duality is a conditioned consciousness. We're accustomed to thinking with senses, material senses. And in order to really make this shift, you really must know the truth. You must know this divine presence. And the only way that you're going to know it is by its attributes. It's whole. It's complete. It's eternal. These are things that transcend human understanding.
And what we were saying in our class last week is once we have this realization, then we have to have this knowing, and then we can pray unceasingly?
Right, because once you figure it out and you're drawing from the truth and you have the benefit of the power of divine law and you're demonstrating divine law with some degree of certainty, why would you ever go back to the old human way of believing and trying and struggling?
I know you always say that we shouldn't try. Everything should just be.
We want to recognize the presence of spirit by making your mind an avenue of awareness for it, for this invisible, intangible, pure consciousness. And then just wait and listen and let it take over. And in doing that, you forsake your human mode, and now you're under the government of divine law, which will now cast a perfect shadow.
Well, this is a great place. We have to start breaking down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. And once you're there on that homepage, you'll see a section entitled Swami Says Recent Post, about three quarters of the way down. You just click on any of those shows there listed so you can further your spiritual developments. Don't forget, Swami does have a free webinar Wednesdays at noon. And so with that, Swami, do you have any of the final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage everybody to attune themselves to this truth of being and free themselves from the limitations of the law of karma. Enjoy the benefits of being held, controlled, and governed by the divine law of eternal life. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.